are listening to Zero Discussion.
I'm coming in hot. It's been like 2 weeks. And when I say hot, I mean Arkansas hot, because it's sweltering here, guys. Like, I put on deodorant this morning. I walked outside. I got in my car and I drove to work. I took the scenic route because I left a little early. And then by the time I got there, the air wasn't really going because it wasn't super hot then. Even by the time I made it there, like, it was already just coming off of me, just dripping off of me, my deodorant. I apologize. My apologies again for seemingly completely fucking off. We have a puppy, by the way, so you're probably going to hear some sounds. And also, I need to put batteries in my smoke detector. So yeah, I guess there's going to be some cuts probably. So yeah, welcome to Zero Distortion. It's been a while since I've written these notes. Life is still crazy. Life continues to be crazy. It is life. So has anything crazy happened? The Mars Volta is back. That's insane. They are literally back. They haven't said anything about an album, but there's been some singles dropped. They're kind of funky and not different. They're a little bit more on the funky side than the like rocky, progressive, weird side that they're known for. They've done some art installations in certain places. Mars Volta is back. That's kind of crazy. I can't think of a whole lot of stuff that's happened. Parkway Drive has dropped some singles. They dropped an album, a whole album. And, I mean, the singles they're different. The internet doesn't like them. The internet hates them. And, don't know if you guys watch Stranger Things or not, but Metallica is back in the charts for the first time in a long time. Like a song, like a 35, 36-year-old song is in Master of Puppets is back on the charts because of one of the greatest scenes in television this year. It's fun. Even if you don't watch the show, go check out the scene, because it's basically a guy who, like, plays Master of Puppets in a really cool environment, and it looks awesome. And, yeah. And also, by the way, don't try to gatekeep Metallica. That's stupid. They are one of the, if not the biggest band on the planet. You can't gatekeep that. People will find them. I mean, you can try, because it's silly. I'm sure it doesn't happen a lot, but I'm sure it does happen some. And it shouldn't happen at all. We should just want people to listen to more metal. That's what Metallica said. They said, hey, everyone's allowed. I agree. I, for one, don't care if Kim Kardashian wears like a cattle decapitation hoodie or something and doesn't know anything about them and just wore it to be edgy. Who knows? Maybe she'll look them up and listen to them. Probably not Kim Kardashian, but somebody out there has done something like that. I'm sure I have. That's how some people find bands and learn about new spheres of music and whatnot. It's fun. When did Machine Head drop Unhallowed? They dropped another single. Lorna Shore dropped a single. I think that was dropped after I made last episode, called Into the Earth, and it's the first time I listened, I was kind of underwhelmed, but then I listened to it with like nothing going on, no kids, no nothing, and the ending breakdown just, it broke me. I covered my mouth just like, oh my god, it's so heavy. What the fuck? By the way, I'm not filtering myself anymore. So, just be warned, I'm going to probably, and by probably I mean definitely, be cursing at least a bit. Just because that's the way that I speak, that's the way I choose to speak, and if you don't like it, I mean, I apologize. But this show might not be for you anymore. So, here we are today. What are we getting into today? Well, and again, this is late because I'm super behind. I'm trying to get back on schedule. It's not happening. Today we have basically a one-man, two-man project. I mean, it's one guy, but I've seen a drummer with him. But it is a one-man project. There's lots of those. This one is very interesting because, I mean, I don't hear a lot like this. I do. There's like two or three other acts I've seen on Bandcamp that are like this, but there's not one that hits quite like this. I'm, of course, talking about France's The Algorithm and their brand new 2022 album called Data Renaissance. This album was released in a little bit of a interesting fashion, I guess you could say. It's probably not that interesting nowadays. It's kind of similar to what Sleep Token did with Sundowning. After Sleep Token released 1 and 2, they released singles, and those were standalone, like, I guess, Jaws. There was another one they did. I think the Hey Ya single came around that time. And then they started releasing singles from the album. And they announced that there was going to be an album, but they were going to release every song, like, every 2 weeks. So, you know, you got The Night Does Not Belong to God, and then you've got The Offering, and then Levitate, and it just goes on and on and on until you get to the end. And by the time you get to it, I mean, you've heard the whole album by the time it comes out. Well, by the time it comes out, you've only got the last song to hear. And what I did was I listened to the whole album and just waited for the end of it. And it was a nice experience. It still holds up. I still love it. That process works. It's a great way to release an album. It keeps you fresh. It keeps the blood flowing. And that's what the Algorithm did. They didn't release them in total order. Like, at the end of the day, the tracks are ordered a little bit differently, but it's still, it still worked. It worked. It took me a while to realize that's what they were doing until I got, like, I don't know, three, like, four singles in. I was like, yeah, this is, he's just going to release everything from the album ahead of time. And that's okay. Except I don't think the last track came out. I think the last track was like, why release the last track as a single? Release the whole album at that point. So, The Algorithm is basically a one-man kind of electric or electronic progressive metal. I don't know if you call it progressive. It's progressive in the sense that it's like mildly djent-y. I used the biggest air quotes I could muster at that time. But basically a crossbreed between electronic music and metal. It is consisting of one man, Remy Gallego. I don't know how that sounded Spanish. He's from France, by the way. Galeo, I don't know. I'm not going to try that again. From Perpignan, France. Formed in 2009. This is his fifth full-length album, I think. Because he had my favorite of his, Polymorphic Code, which is... it is great. It is the perfect exhibit of what this style of music is. And then Octopus 4, this Octopus some number. Basically that one, it felt like maybe a little bit more toned down on the metal side, but not so much. It's fine. And then you've got Brute Force, which is kind of back to the same formula, or it's definitely the same formula as Polymorphic Code. I might be talking out of my ass about Octopus, but it's his discography. The discography has been great so far. And then you've got this one is a kind of a mouthful, Compiler Optimization Techniques. This one, he kind of took a different approach. Instead of making, like, you know, I would say normal length songs, like, you know, your six or seven, like, not 6 or 7 minute long songs, but like between 3 and 6, maybe 6.5 on the longer side. And then there's like an 11 minute song. They're regular length songs for me. He kind of went towards more of a long form approach, and you get the opening track is like 11 minute track, 9 minute, 7.5, like they're long. It's longer. And there's only 5 tracks. It's a little bit of a different approach. That one, some of the songs feel a little long in the tooth, but like, honestly, it's still great. I haven't really experienced anything from the Algorithm that was not good, really enjoyable. And honestly, the same can be said for Data Renaissance. It's a fun listen. I've had fun with it. It's been a while since I listened to it. I listened to it when I made these notes, because I listened to it a bunch when it first came out. And then I put it down. And then when I finally wrote the notes for it, I listened to it one more time, and then I put it down again. So it's been a while. Now, because the Algorithm does the kind of electronic music deal, he has a lot of references to things that deal with computing. So, I mean, you get things like, I'm trying to think of one. I mean, one of their songs is called Null. And if you don't know what null is, I can explain it to you. Null is, in programming languages, null is like, it is an empty value. There is no value to it. Now, unless you're a JavaScript programmer like I am, in that case, you have null and undefined, which makes things so fun to explain, where basically null is a value that is nothing, whereas undefined is literally no value. Nothing has been said. So it's fun to explain that to people. But yeah, I kind of looked some of this stuff up because I didn't know what a lot of these terms are, because this is more like in line with computer science as opposed to programming. I am not a computer scientist. This is stuff that's really close to the metal, as you'd say, like really dealing with actual computing and computers. And yeah, I don't know. I'm a programmer. I don't know these things. A lot of programmers do, because a lot of people go and get computer science degrees because jobs will want you to have computer science degrees. Now, a lot of them, they don't care. They just want you to have experience, and that's what you're looking for. But a lot of these places are going to really want lots of experience or a high level of understanding of things. And I mean, you just got to get out there and learn it. Smack my mic. So let's kind of get into it. My first impression, it was great to begin with. I'd already heard all the songs, but as a whole, it was great. It's a very fun kind of album. And over time, it's just gotten better, the experience of listening to it. It's not like one of those incredible experience albums, like I wish I could forget I ever listened to it so I could experience it again. But it is a fun listen. So let's get the song by song going. First up is Segmentation Fault. Now, in computing, a segmentation fault, often shortened to seg fault or access violation, is a fault or failure condition raised by hardware with memory protection, notifying an operating system that the software has attempted to access a restricted area of memory, a memory access violation. In other words, a segmentation fault just means that, you know, you've got a program that tried to access something that it has no access to. Like if a program tried to, I don't know, access your user data and it doesn't have access to that, which just as a layman to that type of thing, I would say it probably doesn't. Stuff would blow up. Like, not literally, your computer would not blow up. Like, just, I'm saying, things would break. You would see errors. You would probably just get your little window pop up and go doo doo, and it would just have a red X and tell you bad. So this one's very atmospheric and enjoyable to begin with. It's kind of trippy, and it's fun because especially when you get into like electronic music, you can feel some of the music going back and forth between the headphones. It kind of feels like it's flossing your brain. I mean, if you liked to enjoy some illicit substances every once in a while, some of those substances would definitely enhance this particular experience. Not that I would know. And it does pick up properly pretty quickly. It kind of has this bombastic just pop, like this huge, just like if you had what's the guy, a director for, or the guy who directs the orchestra, what is it called? I can't think of it. It's not a composer, but basically you've got that guy. This is the point where both hands go up and everything, just all the music, all the instruments just come in at one time for just this huge splash of music. But then it lulls a bit before going into just this pounding beat. And we then get double bass for a bit. And, you know, it builds up to this driving beat. This just, I don't know how else to describe it, but this is going to be, this is a motif. This is going to permeate the album at numerous points, I noticed. And it ends in a similar place to the start, pretty quickly too. I found that it's a little hard to do reviews for instrumental music, not like I have trouble talking about it. It's just, I try to tell you how, I don't know why instrumental has been more difficult, because I've done the New Animals as Leaders, and that was hard for me to write reviews for without just talking about the music, because the music is in the forefront, whereas like other stuff, there's vocals as well. I don't know. Something in my brain is broken because it's hard for me to like really coherently like talk about how instrumental music makes me feel, I think. And that's weird because I don't know. Maybe it's partially the music, the albums that I've covered. Because I swear, if I did the first Animals as Leaders album, I could probably come up with more stuff to talk about, because that one I've been listening to it for 12 years. It's still one of my favorite albums probably ever. Like, it's definitely top 20. It might be top 10. I don't know. I can't do that right now. But yeah, I'm trying to find my way through this reviewing thing. I'm really just trying to feel it out and, you know, do what feels right. So I think what kind of flipped the script on the order these tracks were released, Segmentation Fault, was actually second. The first one was the next song, and then everything else was in order, I believe. The next song is Interrupt Handler. Now, another definition. In computer systems programming, an interrupt handler, also known as an interrupt service routine or ISR, is a special block of code associated with a specific interrupt condition. So, I don't know how to, I'm not super familiar with that concept. I'm guessing it's just, if you have your code and there's a certain point where it would basically not break the program, but cause it to exit or stop. Exiting is something that programs do. I'm guessing that would be considered an interrupt handler, where basically it tells you what to do, or it handles what when a program stops, when a program exits. I don't know. It's, again, this is a little outside of my field. So this one is more upbeat. There's some guitar that can actually be heard. It's got a dirty stomping kind of beat. kind of makes you want to fight, kind of makes you want to jump up and down. It kind of gets you going. Like, Segmentation Fault kind of pulls you in just a little bit, and then you get Interrupt Handler, and it's like, all right, we're going not full tilt, but half tilt. Trust me, by the end of the album, we will be going full tilt. There's lots of, like, robot noises and glitches thrown into this one. It reminds me of some of the older stuff, some of the earlier stuff and feel. Like, if you go listen to my favorite song by this guy's Access Granted, the beginning of that song has a bunch of little, like, weird glitchy flourishes. It makes me think of, like, dubstep, but mixed with metal. And I really enjoy that. And then, like, at the end, there's more samples. There's a lot of cool moments in that song. I say go check it out. I say go check that whole album out. Go check his discography out. It's great. And the beat slows down, throwing in some samples, some sample drums at a point, going along with a lot of other samples. And then it kind of builds out to this, like, 80s kind of space out section. It's a really cool song. It's interesting. It makes for a great, like, lead or secondary single. It makes for a great single. Not every song on here makes for a good single, but it kind of doesn't count when you release the whole album. See, when you do it that way, that is a release. There's a difference. It's kind of, people would say, semantics. You should be mad about this because you hate how people release so many singles before an album comes out. And it's like, I do, but not when they release the whole album, like, release every song in order. Then it's just, you're just releasing the album. It's a different way of doing it. So next up we get Decompilation. Decompilation is a type of reverse engineering that performs the opposite operations of a compiler. Done by a compiler is basically, like, for instance, you take code, there is a, it's not really a language per se, but it's more so just, like, syntactic sugar. Like, it helps you write, it gives you a lot of extra things in JavaScript that JavaScript doesn't have. You have TypeScript. It gives you typing like other languages and a lot of things that other languages have that JavaScript just doesn't have. And what you do is you compile that TypeScript code and they translate it into JavaScript code. TypeScript is not something that is just used in your web browser. JavaScript is used in your web browser. TypeScript becomes JavaScript. It is compiled to it. And decompilation would be the opposite of that. It would be the reverse. It would be taking JavaScript and translating it into TypeScript, which I don't think that works. So again, this one's very upbeat, this time with some synths, and then that driving, heavy beat comes in, heavier on the guitar, like, dirtier, more distorted, and then there's some synths and some glitches thrown in. It's real nice. It's a fun, and there's even, like, a straight dubstep style breakdown in there, too. And almost another variation of that motif from earlier to end the song off. It's different, man. Or not different. It's, I don't know. This album almost feels as though it's, with the motif and just the continuing feel of the album, it feels like it's not one continuous song, but like there's a theme here. And it's instrumental music. And see, I really like the idea of instrumental, that, like, an instrumental concept album that could tell a story. That's always been something I've thought of. Surely it exists. It's just not something I am privy to. But yeah, great album so far. So now we've got Read Only. I didn't put a definition down because Read Only is really easy to understand. I'm going to use object-oriented programming. In object-oriented programming, you create classes to define behavior and properties for reusable behavior and properties for certain things that you might reuse in code. Like you would write a class for a car, and then you could use that class to build other classes for an SUV, a sedan, a pickup truck. And then you could use those to make other classes for, like, you know, a Civic and a Sierra and a Sienna and all of that stuff. In an object, there are public properties and methods, which can be accessed from outside of the class, private, which can only be accessed inside the class, and read-only, which you can access it, but it can't be mutated in any way. That's what read-only means. It's not just a coding term. It is used all over the place. And I mean, if you go into, there's some stuff, like if you just pop open Windows and try to mess with some files, it'll probably tell you they're read-only. Read-only just means you can only read it. That's all it means. There's no write access to whatever it is you're trying to mess with. I didn't really write a lot on this one. It actually sounds like there's some coding. Like typing. You can hear some keyboard clicky clacks before getting some of that pounding guitar over a nice beat. It's still upbeat, but less so than the others. This one, it felt weird. I don't know how to describe it, but it feels more sinister in nature than the songs that came before. It feels like Segmentation Fault was pulling you in and kind of like saying, yes, come to me. Interrupt Handler was a little bit more brash and abrasive, and then Decompilation is kind of dirty and heavy, but they're all kind of, I mean, Decompilation was heading in this direction sound wise but Read Only is kind of, it kind of makes you like look side to side like, okay, it's a little sus, a little scary. It's a cool sounding song though. I've had fun with this album. I mean, up to this point, I guess you could say after this, it doesn't lull really. It's just, I don't know. It's hard for me to like kind of differentiate the songs from each other. Not in the sense of they sound the same. It's like, I can't remember which one is which. I mean, it's not a bad thing at all. I mean, it's just different. It's just a different kind of feel. So next up, we've got Cryptographic Memory. I couldn't really find anything on that. Cryptographic, probably relating to, like, you know, encoding things, like you encode a password. I thought I could have sworn I had saved something on this. I don't know. Maybe it's got something to do with, like, memory when you're encoding something. I don't know what this means. I don't totally understand. I'm not going to try and pretend I do. So you get heavy drums and almost trance-like synths to start this one. It's a lot more glitchy and offbeat than what we've heard before. And there's also this, like, choir effect, which, again, it kind of gives you that sinister vibe on this song. And it kind of goes in and out, and yeah, it gives you a bit of a different feel. It's kind of sinister, but it's different. Like, I don't know. It almost feels sinister, but it doesn't. It does feel different from the last song. And then, I mean, it's actually kind of chilled out near the end. It's a real kind of change of pace about halfway through. See, it's difficult to talk about these songs. I didn't write a whole lot because it's not like there's a bunch of stuff going on. It's harder. I think it might be harder because it's electronic. It's kind of electronic-based music. But, I mean, I'm going to try to do better with some of this other stuff I got coming up. I gotta pull up my episode list because I know I tweeted it, but I've got a few albums queued up, and then there's even a few more after that that are going to come that I will have more to talk about. And one, I will definitely be like, I want to come back and revisit this one day, but I can't right now. So next up is Object Resurrection. An object-oriented programming languages with garbage collection, which garbage collection is something I don't understand entirely. I think it's just when a certain thing that, say, like a variable, when you set something like X equals 1, when that is no longer needed, garbage collection kind of sweeps it up and gets rid of it to save on memory. Some languages have it, some languages don't. Like, I think C++, you gotta manage your trash, you gotta manage your memory, whereas, like, Rust is a little different. Rust kind of, it has the concept of ownership, where a value may switch owners, or you can't switch the value. It's complicated. But yeah, garbage collection. An object-oriented programming languages with garbage collection, object resurrection, is when an object comes back to life. Hit my mic again. Comes back to life again during the process of object destruction as a side effect of a finalizer being executed. I'm guessing a finalizer is like a constructor, probably. A constructor is... You basically, it's a function, you feed it certain properties, and it uses those properties to create an object. A finalizer, I'm guessing, would probably be whenever you're going to destroy it, it's what it does. I know some languages have, like, a destructor. One of those C languages has a concept of a destructor, which is basically when an object is destroyed or whatever, it runs the destructor and does whatever it does. So yeah, object resurrection is something I've never heard of before. It's an interesting concept. So yeah, this is going to be like amateur bullshit computer science 101 with a little bit of music talk. So it starts right off with that heavy beat again, with a lot of synths and distortion. And after that, it kind of takes a more relaxing turn with synths and synthesized drums over a beat. But then that driving motif returns again, almost as if this is the song it's been waiting for. And overall, this is continuing the turn to a more relaxed tone after, like I said, Read Only was kind of sinister, and Cryptographic Memory was kind of moving away from that, but still a little, and it still had a toe in that sphere. Object Resurrection is moving towards a more relaxed tone. Like, the first songs were kind of bombastic a little bit, and then those the next couple songs are kind of a little menacing, like, not scary menacing, but like, I don't know how to say it. Menacing. And now we're kind of moving to a more like kickback, relax kind of vibe. Next up is multithreading. Multithreading is the ability of a program or an operating system to enable more than one user at a time without requiring multiple copies of the program running on the computer. And I mean, in JavaScript that I use, that we use, you know, threads, async programming a lot, you know, where you will have a function that needs to run, but you need to either wait for it to run, or you either need to wait for it to finish running to do something, which is not totally how JavaScript works. Like, sometimes you'll have certain things that will just take time, but the code will just continue on going through the lines, line by line, and you need it to stop, so you use, you know, async programming. And then there's cases where you need certain things to run at the same time, and at that point you would also use async programming. It's just synths really glitchy for quite a while. And then there's another variation of that really driving motif here, continuing to tether these songs together. This one's not really my favorite. It's kind of short and theatrical, like a credit song. I mean, you could probably say that about a good fair bit of the Algorithm's music. I probably could have used some of his music if I knew he existed back when I was in college. Oh, wait, no. I was in college until the year he had formed this project. And freaking, I couldn't have. Because I went to ITT Tech 2007 to 2009. So, I wouldn't know. But it would have been cool. Because my capstone, I did The Matrix. Reloaded. The Matrix Reloaded. I took fight scenes. I cut them up. I cut them out. I cut them together. And tried my hardest to make it sync up to a song, a Darren Gray song. By the way, oh, shoot, did I mention Darren Gray dropped an album? Yes, I think I did. It's been out for a minute. I'm going to cover that too, because holy crap, like, this is one of my favorite bands. And, I mean, they're back to scary. They're back to horrifying. They're back to freaky, like Dumb Spiro Sparrow, but in a different way. Anyways, we'll come back to that. It was a Darren Gray song from their Withering to Death album, their big break in America, basically. And what I did was I tried to cut the fight scenes together to make it line up to the music, and it worked out pretty doggone well, like a music video almost. And as the credit song, I used the beginning of the next track, because it kind of has a credit-y feel. And this kind of makes me think of that whole experience. So next up is Oracle Machine. In complexity theory and computability theory? Again, guys, this is not my side of the screen. Some of this stuff is way far afield. Like, I'd have to go to school to understand this. An oracle machine is an abstract machine used to study decision problems. It can be visualized as a Turing machine with a black box called an oracle, which is able to solve certain problems in a single operation. I don't fully understand that. Now, this is a trippy, chilled out feeling song. It's almost picking up right where the last song left off. Very calming and, like, drifting, almost wispy, almost like you're floating in water at times, like your ears are coming above the water so you can kind of hear in little blips, and then all of a sudden it just gets all muffled, and then it comes in, it like washes into your ears a little bit. It's a very interesting feeling. And at one point, guitar comes in with I don't know what I was trying to say there. That must be a typo. Guitar comes in and bass almost becomes like distorted and disorienting, just loud and just buzzy, and it's a fun feeling. I feel like that was an intentional thing. Like he wants you to feel that. I mean, music is used all the time to make you feel uncomfortable, or not just music, but things in music. And this is no different. This is one of those times, I feel. The synths keep kind of a single idea going throughout, underneath everything else going on. It's a nice song. It's not, I didn't even rank this one. It's not like my favorite, but I enjoy it. I hit my mic again. This is not a good place for my mic. I should learn this. Third time's a charm. Yeah, I didn't even rank it. Okay, so Data Renaissance is the title track. Next to last song here. I looked it up to try and see if it meant anything other than just being a dope title for the album. Now, the sound of this song is what you think when you hear techno. It's a little sinister in nature, but overall, it's pretty light. It does have a nice heavy beat with the first I recall hearing guitar that isn't all power chords. Because a lot of the algorithm, guitar in the algorithm is not high end, it's lower. It's like palm muted chords and power chords and stuff like that. And here you clearly hear it playing that driving beat in something of a kind of a culmination of that idea. And the end is pretty emphatic with these loud chords. It's a good song. I enjoy it. Not as much as some of the other songs, some of the earlier songs, but it's fun. Again, it's harder for me to explain instrumental songs because it's all music. I hate it because and honestly, this album doesn't make me feel like if I did Polymorphic Code, I'd have a lot more to talk about. Again, I think it's kind of in the album. Now, this is a good album, but it's not blowing the doors off or anything. Like, when I talk about this album positively, it doesn't mean it's the best algorithm album out there. It's the best thing going. It's the best album he's made yet. It's more like, I really enjoy it. It's great. But if you ask me, did I like it more than Polymorphic Code, I'd say, hell no. Polymorphic Code is, it's legendary. It's great. So now we move into the final track, inline assembly. Now, in computer programming, an inline assembler is a feature of some compilers that allows low-level code written in assembly language to be embedded within a program, among code that otherwise has been compiled from a higher-level language such as C or Ada. I've never heard of Ada. C is like the grandfather of a bunch of languages. You probably heard of C++. That's what I think that's like the main language Unity uses, and I think it can use C# as well. C# is another very popular language. But assembly language is basically, it's just computer commands. It's just like commands of like, do this, do that. It's very, very low level. I've never really messed with assembly language. Now, there is kind of an analog on the web. There is a thing called WebAssembly. The idea here is that you take languages that can't go on the web. JavaScript goes on the web. Now, in the back end, like on a server, you can run whatever. You can run JavaScript. You can run Python, Rust, Go, C#, C++. Like, you can run all kinds of stuff. Python, Rust, Go, I think I said those two. But what WebAssembly allows you to do is it allows you to, remember the term, compile. It allows you to compile, to write code in this language that your web browser doesn't understand, that Chrome cannot do anything with. And you can compile it into WebAssembly, which is like just a low-level, so weird syntax, low-level programming language that you can call to in your JavaScript that is understood by Chrome. And then it can do, you can basically use that code that you wrote in a completely different language. Now that's probably not the same thing as, that's not the same thing as inline assembly. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't totally understand it. I've never written things like compilers and, you know, I've never written my own programming language. I don't know. So this is a fun one. It's pulsing club music at its best. It's fast and frantic with this heavy beat. There's guitar, but it plays like second fiddle to the beat itself and the pure energy. It's like, it's the best way I can describe it is if you went to a club in Europe and they played this like this is where, you know, the lights start flashing and you should have dropped your tabs of acid 15, 20 minutes earlier so you can already be on one, or you pop your ecstasy, your MDMA, so you can already be on one, because now is the time. Like, this is the time to pump your arms, sway around, and, like, get real into it, because this thing is nonstop, wall-to-wall power, and it is fun. It's different from everything else on the album. And it ends even more frantically than it begun. I mean, it's such a fun end to this album. Like, it almost makes everything before it seem boring with how just out of left field it is. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it was going to be like that, obviously. And it just blew me away. I mean, it's such a fast-paced, crazy song. Just so far afield from what you've heard, which is just like finely tuned electronic music with metal mixed into it, whereas this is just like electronic AF, and it's great. I love it. And that's the end. That's Data Renaissance. Overall, it's super fun with a high level of re-listenability. It is 39 minutes. It's not very long. 39 minutes, 10 tracks. Like, you can listen to it while you're doing some menial task that you don't care about. Like, it's real simple to get into. It's for the people who like metal. It's for the people who like electronic. I can't even say who it's more for, this one. I mean, because it's a good mix of both. This one, this one's mostly for the electronic people, because it leans more into the electronic feel. But if you're a metalhead and you're anywhere in the sphere of this type of music, like an electronic-leaning sound, then, yeah, this is for you. But really, it's so fun, anybody can enjoy it. Like, anybody could pick this album up, listen to it, and get jazzed about it. It's fun. It's a fun album to listen to, man. So, rankings. There's a song that I forgot to rank, Oracle Machine. Ninja that in there, and that's where we're gonna put it, because I think that's where it goes. Somehow in my brain I'm like, that's where it's supposed to be. I could be wrong, but we're gonna go with it. So at the very bottom is Multithreading. It just doesn't do that much for me. It feels like an interlude in an instrumental album, which doesn't mean bad, it's more low-key than everything else. Then Read Only. It's fun, but, you know, yeah, as I always say, there's better stuff. Not bad, just not good enough. And Cryptographic Memory, it's a fun one, with kind of that trancey start and the glitching. It's a fun feel. It's a fun song. And then you've got Object Resurrection up next with that heavy beat kind of taking over, as if it's like, this is its moment. This is the beat. This is the time that the beat makes the most of itself. Then we got Oracle Machine, which, you know, it's got that trippy, wispy, kind of like, you could really drift away in the beginning of this song. And then you got Data Renaissance. It's a fun song. A lot more metal in this song than most of the other songs. You got Interrupt Handler, which is, you know, out the gate, just, it's kind of macho. And then you got Decompilation, which is kind of in a similar vein, but less so. It's a little played down, a little more reserved. Then you get Segmentation Fault, number 2, my second favorite from the album. It's not the first I heard. The first I heard was Interrupt Handler, because that was the first that was released. Yeah, Segmentation Fault. It's got a really nice start. It makes for a good intro, but also a good first song. And you get inline assembly because y'all just came out of nowhere and kick people in the teeth with this absolute insanity. And I'm here for it. I'm 100% here for it. Okay, so honestly, what we've got coming up, I skipped a number there. Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't skip a number. I actually moved that album up, so I guess that's what I'm doing next. I see what I did. The ordering will fix itself once it is published. So this week we get into the algorithm. Lots of stuff came out. I could have sworn I was going to do the new Haunter album next time. But I think I remember making the decision and being like, screw it. And I went in and I switched it with the Artificial Brain episode. So next week, tentatively next week, life, next time I'll say, we're going to be looking at, Texas death metal. There's a lot of really good stuff going on in the death metal world nowadays. Most people will tell you, Haunter is one of them. They have a really interesting take on death metal with longer songs. It's more progressive in nature, kind of dissonant at times, and it kind of meanders a bit. It's a lot. It can be a lot, but Haunter is fun. And then you've got Artificial Brain, who is very dissonant. It's part of their thing, and very weird sounding, and they're very sci-fi themed with their song titles and their subject matter. And their vocalist he's an animal. I mean, literally, he is an animal. He sounds disgusting in his vocals. He sounds like a gross monster. And his name's Will Smith. It's not that Will Smith. Not that one. His wife had a band, Will Smith, the actor, but they haven't been a band for a long time, as far as I know. And then, I gotta get to it. I could do it sooner than later, but I feel like it'd be nice to make you and myself wait. Motionless and White, Scoring the End of the World. I have listened to this way too much in the last, let me grab my phone I can't show you shit. It's an audio medium, genius. So we'll go to charts. Let's see. We'll go to last 30 days. The next is the last 365. Let's see. In the last 30 days, I have scrabbled Motionless and White. We're going to give scrabble counts. Motionless and White at 424. Kardashev at 250. Lorna Shore at 61. Darren Gray at 45. And The Algorithm at 28. That's in the last 30 days. Now, as far as albums, Scoring the End of the World, 383, because some of those other scrabbles were me listening to, like, their last album, Disguise, and the song Disguise, because it slaps super hard, and some of their other songs, I think, because I don't know, I conceivably could have listened to Disguise, what is that, like, 41 times, Scoring the End of the World at 383. Another album that I will be covering very soon, and probably right after the Motionless and White album, I will be covering Kardashev's Liminal Right, because I have lots to say about that. And again, I would like to come back to it later and try to analyze it, because there is a story and there is lots going on, and I just can't totally understand it all. I'd have to sit down with it and really spend some time. 205 scrabbles there. 44 with Darren Gray's new one, Phalaris, which the cover is, it's scary, and I was like, oh man, I can almost hear what this sounds like. And then I listened and I was like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. And then Disguise by Motionless and White, the album. 31 scrabbles. So somewhere in there, I've scrabbled 10 other, or is my math wrong? Is my math wrong? No, because 31, that would be 4 or 14. I don't know. And then, of course, And I Return to Nothingness, 20 Scrabbles there, because I can't freaking stop listening to it, because it's incredible. And then for tracks, I mean, I'm not going to tell you the Scrabbles, but in order, Meltdown from Scoring the End of the World. Until I Say It's Not from the album, it is. Slaughterhouse, Sign of Life, Masterpiece, Cause of Death, Werewolf, Disguise is not from this album. Porcelain is, Broadcasting from Beyond the Grave, Corpse Nation, Cyberhex, all from that album. And then you've got Compost Gravesong and Glass Phantoms from Liminal Right, Burned at Both Ends 2, and We Become the Night from Scoring. And then, like, then it's kind of mostly Liminal Right with some of the other songs, some of the stragglers. And then down there you've got 18 Scrabbles for Sun Eater, 14 for Into the Earth. So Lorna Shore is still, like, very much so on my radar. And Snow Sleep, I got 6 Scrabbles for that. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm, oh man. And Spirit Box came out with a surprise. It's a single, I think, called Rotoscope. But it's got 3 songs, so it's kind of like an EP. It's nice. It's nice. It's cool. It's got some different vibes going on. I might toss that in there somewhere. I'm not sure. Yeah. So, I haven't given up at all. It's just, sometimes I will come home from work and I will sit down and we will be like, yeah, let's watch a movie. And we'll sit down and watch a movie. And I'll fall asleep during the movie or after the movie, or I just won't be feeling like I want to record. And to me, if you try to do something when you don't feel like it, you can't do it. Like, the only time you could really do that is when money's involved. Like, if this was my job, then it would be like, I gotta do it. It's like when I go to work, there's so many days I stare at my computer and I'm like, I hate everything. It's like this past week, like yesterday, this whole week we've been working towards, releasing the app I've basically been working on since I started my job last year. It's like 18 months worth of work. We got it merged in and everything and just about ready to go. And then I push it in and everything's broken. And this is yesterday, the day we're supposed to go and set up their equipment and get everything going for them. And everything was working fine. And then it was just busted. But luckily, I still had half a day, and we were off the hook for actually starting them using it today. So, yesterday, I figured out what the problem was, or part of the problem, and then today, I sussed out a lot of the other details and fixed a lot of stuff, and really, I think it's working now, and it's ready to go, so I think we're back on schedule. I just might want to kind of kick the hornet's nest a little bit again to make sure nothing else is in there. Make sure I don't get stung. Hopefully I don't get stung, rather. So, yeah, guys. I'm trying. I'm here. It's fun. It's fun doing this podcast. Hopefully my numbers can get back up. Because I know I literally took, like, what, 5 or 6 weeks off from the show. After doing, like, a 25-minute episode. I'm looking at it right now. Like, my numbers were pretty good. I was getting like 20 listens, and now, you know, the last one I did was only 8, and this one will probably be less because, you know, people got to either come back or I got to get more people. It's just, you know, consistency. It is what it is. Again, this is for fun. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy talking about music, and apparently somebody enjoys listening to me talk about music. Unless, you know, my husband has listened to, like, some of these episodes numerous times to just build it up. I don't know. Maybe they watch. I don't know. That seems like a bad idea to watch at, like, I don't know, IPs or something and be like, hey, that one's listening again. Don't count that. That would be weird. So yeah, the tentative upcoming schedule for, you know, the coming weeks, the coming episodes, Artificial Brain, self-titled, followed by Haunter, Discarnate Ales. And then finally, I get to talk about this album I've been just can't stop listening to. Motionless in White, Scoring the End of the World. It's not my album of the year. It cannot be. it's probably going to be my number two, and that's probably going to piss somebody off because there's been so much good music this year, and there's still so much to come. But we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it because that album scratches some itches that I've had since my teenage years, and it all feels right, it feels real, and it feels great as an adult. And then I'm probably going to get into the new Kardashev album, Liminal Right, after that, because that one probably will be my album of the year. I got that feeling. The one I got that I talked about with The Work, and I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I got that tingle inside myself where I was like, I don't know. This feels, is this the one? It might be the one. I think it is. And this is in a year where we might get Slipknot later this year. We might get it next year. I don't know. But new Slipknot on the horizon. New Machine Head is like, it's another return to form for them. And it's coming in a couple months. And new Warforged in September. And I'm already calling that my album of the year. In the same year that, you know, Warforged, who, like, you know how much I love Warforged if you've been listening for any amount of time. I mean, I did a full analysis of their last album and the EP before that. I did twice. I redid it from my notes that I had already written. In a year that we're getting another album from them, granted, there are some changes. It's not following the same storyline, but they told me that, I mean, it kind of has to do with, it kind of has to do with substance abuse or addiction. I can't remember. It was in a tweet. But yeah, in a year where all of that shit is still on the horizon, I'm fairly certain and fairly confident in saying Liminal Right may end up being my album of the year. If I'm wrong, cool, I'm wrong. But we'll see. So I'm going to quit babbling and call it a day. That's going to do it. The review was a little short. It was more catch up and talking. But I'm going to try and get back into it. Like, I'm trying to get back into it. I really am. It doesn't seem like I am. But I really enjoy this. And I would like to continue. And yeah. Next time, Artificial Brain. Artificial Brain, which features a song called Artificial Brain. I can't wait. See you. Oh my god, I almost jumped right the fuck out of here without. If you enjoy Zero Distortion and like the show and the things I do, you could subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/x3r0distortion. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/zerodistortion, spelled with an X. And you can follow me on all the social media garbage. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, I'm not even on. I might delete it. I don't know. At x3r0distortion. And next week, guys, we'll be looking at some crazy space death metal with Artificial Brain. See you guys next time.